Hey, this is AKM from Dallas Fuel, and you're listening to The Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Centering, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. That's right, two episodes, 1 week. We're a bunch of overachievers this time around. Episode 142 coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. The time, 9:07 p.m. The date, February 7th, 2019. It's part dose, part two of our Overwatch League Season 2 preview. A couple days ago, we posted our Atlantic preview. We're going to do our Pacific preview today. Touch on all the teams from there. Some new Overwatch League news broke in between our last episode and now, so that was nice of them. We get to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, let's introduce everyone here today. I am Tim. Hello. I'll be your captain for this journey into esports. Alongside me, my Overwatch buddy, I have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up? What's up, Tim? How's it going, man?
Anuj is serving his suspension for the Lex suspension. Too busy starting fires on Twitter, so he has to serve a one-episode suspension. He understands the punishment. In fact, I said, Anuj, you got to sit one out, and he was like, hey, I understand. Because he knows who's in charge. He knows who's in charge.
The czar.
In fact, he actually turned around and made it sound like his idea, and then he was down for it. He was like, hey, you know what? Why don't I serve a one-game suspension? And I think, all right. That works. But for real, it's just Brett and I today talking again about the Pacific Division. Follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website's tcr.gg. It's kind of outdated, though. I'm not going to lie. I don't like it, so I don't really... I don't know. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. I don't know how to build a website is the issue, so it's just takes a lot of energy.
I think Lex complimented that website. Right?
He did. He said, hey, nice website, kid. I'd like to think he was serious. I would like to think a streamer. We can call him a streamer at this point. Professional gamer seems a bit much. But it's always nice to have a streamer compliment your work.
That's right. It makes it all worthwhile.
All right, let's get into this Overwatch League preview, though, because...
Do it.
Like I said, we did actually have some... this is actually somewhat breaking in the last couple of hours, in fact. Little news about the TV deal. Oh, one thing before I get into the TV schedule for Overwatch League. I don't know if we did. So... Let's not completely quote me here. I think last week we said that there are 20 games per team. And I might have just did that because I was thinking there are 20 teams in the league. And it's just my brain and my wasn't communicating properly with my tongue. Each team plays 28 games throughout
which
the season.
Is still 12 less than what it was last year.
Yeah, so
it's
still
in the 20s.
Still
in the ballpark.
Yeah, still an exceptional amount less games than what there were last year. So if I did say 20 games last episode, my apologies for...
our bad.
Just for completely... I don't know what the esports community is going to do since we made a mistake. But there are 28 games.
Show.
But about the TV. So it was just announced a little bit ago over Twitter. Some of the TV details... I think we were asking, maybe this was off show, we were wondering what they were doing. Last year, it was primarily on Disney XD, where they showed a lot of the games. Some of the replays showed up on ESPN2, ESPN3, things like that, and the finals was kind of all over the place. But this year, it looks like they're taking it up a notch. I'm just going to read this verbatim. The semis and finals for the first two stages of the season and the All-Star Game will air on ABC... ESPN2. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Will air on ESPN. Jesus. This is what I get for... I'm trying to read it verbatim, and like the dude's throwing in commas. I just copied and pasted. It's my fault. I'm sorry. The All-Star Game and the semis and finals for Stage 2 will be on ABC.
That's pretty legit. That's
a big boy,
right?
That's a big boy station right there. That's...
Yeah.
You're not talking... Not to poo-poo Disney XD or anything, but I mean, ABC is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned this before, I think off show, of like going to a bar, watching with your buddies, and tell the bartender, hey, but hey, you know, can we watch the Overwatch League? Like, yeah, what channel is it on?
Disney Channel.
Disney Channel.
Like, that's the super game comes awkward.
The game comes on in 15 minutes. Hannah Montana's on right now, but hey, it's only going to be up there for like 15 minutes. Right. Don't worry.
Right after this episode of Hannah Montana, I swear there's going to be a really good match. Yeah. So it's going to be on ABC. ESPN2 will carry Stage 3 finals, and Disney XD will air 3 games weekly, one on Thursday and 2 on Saturday. So the normal matches are still on Disney XD. So
yeah,
we'll still have to ask the bartender to turn on Disney XD, but at least for the finals, we can say, hey man, turn on ESPN. Watch ESPN, sports. Please. Watch it sports. So that's cool though. I mean, that's ABC is a huge, huge deal. I don't think people understand how big that is, right? For TV networks. And I understand whatever your opinion on TV's dying, everything's on Twitch, old man. I understand that argument. But sponsors necessarily don't, so they still like TV, right? There's a reason Super Bowl is still on TV and not exclusively on streaming services. So that is a big deal that ABC and ESPN2 are carrying matches on a stage basis.
Right.
And I think that's really only the other things that have kind of changed. So let's get into the team previews, and then we'll give our predictions at the end and kind of just tie a bow on everything here.
Do it.
We talked last week a lot about the expansion teams. 8 new teams into the season. A majority of them are coming from China. So let's start with the one that we're familiar with, Shanghai Dragon. Dragons, excuse me. Last season, I don't think this is, you know... No spoilers here. 12th overall, 0-40.
They sucked.
They were terrible. Like, yeah. Terrible. And it really kind of overshadowed the Chinese scene, right? I feel like they really just made China look bad. And yeah, I mean, their scene was never huge, but there are good players from it.
Yeah, there are good players, good individual players that come from that scene, and... They have their own Contenders League, which is something to be said, right? Like, there's a need for Chinese Overwatch. There's a definite fan base for Chinese Overwatch. And if there's a fan base there, there's obviously going to be some players, some teams that can fill some decent teams. And the team that, if memory serves me right, that Chinese team that was brought in, that was one full team, right? Or no, maybe I'm not remembering that right. If they just brought in one full roster.
I think it was a majority of the same roster and then with individuals sprinkled on, especially like throughout the season, because they did have some Koreans join and everything like that.
Now, albeit like the Chinese talent out there, they're like 18-year-olds. So, you know, maybe the talent was there in that scene, but they just weren't able to come up and make an impact in season one, because obviously you have to be 18, right, to play in the Overwatch League. So it's going to be different this year. Shanghai looks different. The full Chinese roster went to another team. Not that same roster, but,
right. But
an all Chinese roster.
In fact,
you'll still see that.
Looking at the roster for Shanghai going into this season, they have 3 returning players. Fearless. Mm-hmm. Is it Dia? Is that how you say his name, right? Dia,
yeah.
You hear it different every time. And Gaguri.
Gaguri, yeah.
Obviously female flex, female tank.
Yeah.
Those are the only 3 players. And even if you really want to shine a light on how bad last season's roster were, or was, out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players that were cut, 8 players cut, one signed with another Overwatch League team.
Yeah, and Addo going to
Washington.
Washington. Yeah, that's right. And I mean, if you want to even look at this, I mean, it's kind of 2.5 that were returning last year, because I think Fearless was kind of a late pickup for them last year. You know, Dia being the only Chinese player left on that team, and Gaguri there. But I mean, this is going to be an interesting team. Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't think so. But they have some promising talent coming from the Korean scene. Half the team coming, mostly DPS and support players, coming from Kangdu, which is the second place Korean Season 3 contenders team.
So they got second place Season 2.
And then 5th through 8. Okay.
Yeah. But still nonetheless, I made this point last episode. To me, the Korean leagues are so much far and above just better, right? Like, the ceiling in a Korean league is so much higher than a ceiling in a Chinese contender or EU contender.
The ceiling's the roof.
Right. Like, yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I wouldn't look at this and be like, oh, well, none of these guys have any Overwatch League talent. Like, why would they go for these guys?
Yeah. And I mean, definitely. And I mean, you could have thrown a lot of these. I mean, we're going to be talking about a team here in a moment in Vancouver that's brand new coming into the league, that's going to take the league by storm. But yeah, I mean, that Korean scene, I mean, they could fill like 6 Overwatch World Cup rosters and legitimately compete with each other, right? So, I mean, it's a big deal. But I'm seeing holes on this team, and the tanks that are the tanks that they're bringing back, and really the only pure tanks that they have on the team were players that they had last year, which played in Stage 4 when it was, you know, a strong tank meta, right? And this year it's the same. It's starting out that way. It's a strong tank meta.
If you are going to want any people left over, make it the tanks. Tanks are typically the shot callers. You typically need the tanks to be the smart people, because they're the ones controlling the momentum. They're controlling the pace of the game for your team. No one's following the Genji.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like where this team's strength is mostly in DPS and their support class. The tanks, you know, this the same tank line that had was part of the 0-40 team, right? So we'll see. I mean, I watch Gaguri. Her tracking's insane on D.Va. I think she is a true Overwatch pro. I think she belongs here, but I still think that this is a weakness on a team at a position where you can't really afford to be weak, at least in this stage, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially with what appears to be GOATS is going to be the meta.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
unless teams are just keeping like this secret meta in their back pocket until the season starts, I have not seen anything to tell me otherwise. Even with like the Reaper buff and Brigitte nerf, right, with her shield working a little differently, or her bash working a little differently with shields.
I'm not saying they're going to be bottom dwellers, but I'm thinking they're probably going to be around their middle of the pack, maybe bottom three. Or bottom third, rather. But they're not going to be the 0-40 Shanghai Dragons that we saw last year, for sure. There's another team that's going to take that mantle.
Incredible. If a team to have goes two winless.
0-40 teams?
I don't see any team going
or
winless.
Or 0-28, rather.
I don't see any team going winless. But again, I probably said the same thing. I would love to go back and listen to our episodes last year. And we, like, when was the first time we joked about them going 0-40? Because they were
probably
never
after Stage 2. I think.
Man, you think even just joking about it, it might have been like week 2, because last year they never looked good. Like even in the preseason, everyone was like, "Yeah, China ain't gonna do anything."
I really didn't. I don't think they really improved until like Stage 3, right? So,
But they got Kirk
Curry. We probably weren't seeing this around stage three. It was like, man, they're playing the fuel. They're gonna find a win. They got the shock. They got the mayhem coming up. There's got to be a win there, right? But it didn't happen, and it was awesome. I hate to kind of like crap on their season last year, but I mean, it was funny to watch.
It's so much. They will forever be known as the 0-40 team for a long, long, long time. So it'll be hard to bring them up and not bring that.
And it's something that you can relate to as a Lions fan, Tim.
This is true. This is true. Been there, brother. One of the newer teams, the Chinese teams, and fair warning, I'm probably going to butcher all of the names. The
it's okay, everyone.
Chengdu Hunters.
Chengdu Hunters. Yeah, you
that's how I'm going to say it. As an American,
Chengdu.
As a red, white, and blue blooded freedom American, that's how I'm going to say it. this is another team. Maybe you have more on them than what I do. I one thing that stands out to me when you look at their roster is again one of these expansion teams that have zero Overwatch League experience with them, and they're also one of the they are the only Chinese expansion teams, and even including Shanghai, they're the only Chinese team that is fully Chinese.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a strength for them.
Well, that was part of coming, people said that was an issue with Shanghai last year, was their language barrier. They had Chinese, they had Korean. It was like, okay, how are we going to work on this?
Yeah, and what's bad about this roster, I mean, they're bringing in an all-Chinese, speaking, Mandarin-speaking team. But I feel like they didn't get the best Chinese talent on this team. That went to other teams, which is a little unfortunate with them being the sole all-Chinese team. But yeah, I mean, there's holes here, too, and question marks. I mean, there's a couple of players on this team, Bacon Jack being one of them, that is exciting. He was a former Overwatch League pro, went to PUBG, and then came back to Overwatch. So, I mean, you don't know how good he's going to be, but his talent is supposed to be, pretty insane. But, I mean... For us that are variety gamers, right? The aiming on one game doesn't really translate to the other. And Overwatch has changed. Mm-hmm. Overwatch has changed just in the last couple of months. Like, that game is constantly revolving evolving,
man,
and changing.
I hope, though, that, like, these guys play so much. Like, they're putting in 10 plus hours a day on these things. I think stepping away a little bit to play PUBG, I would hope, would not affect anything by it.
No, I mean, it's still at the end of the day, it's aiming, but it's just really the only bright spot. And quite honestly, I don't know a whole lot about this team. I don't until I see them playing as a team against Overwatch League talent. I can't really gauge. I mean, a lot of analysts have them as kind of a sleeper team, but I don't see it. I mean, if they are going to compete, it's going to be their support line and Gary and Vautel, I believe is how you say his name. I probably butchered that, but those are supposed to be the bright spots. So if they can stay upright,
Maybe they have
a shot being, in that 12 spot for a chance, or 11 spot rather,
for the playoffs.
But I don't see it. But hey, I could be pleasantly surprised when the season starts. We'll see.
You do have up next the LA Gladiators making their triumphant. They did have some roster moves. For the most part, they've kept it the same. They were fourth overall last year, fifth and sixth in the playoffs. If you recall, they did make the playoffs. They did not play well. Went 25-15 overall in season one. A good team, but they also had some issues with their roster. You had Fissure, which he's a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
Because he pretty much told them, like, hey, I don't want to be on this team. So he was never really bought into the system. He left to go to Seoul. You have Asher went signed with Toronto. Silk Thread just straight up retired. So they cut some of these guys that weren't mainly in their starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot. And if you want to go further, I mean, they lost Fissure, who was an MVP candidate last season before he decided that he didn't like playing Overwatch anymore and wanted to be part of an all-Korean team. I could be being hard on him, but it really depends on the person you read or you know, the whose side you read or what have you. I tend to believe that he was really in the wrong and he just kind of gave up on his team.
Wasn't that kind of his whole thing when he was on London too, right? Like, wasn't that part of his issue when he was traded from London to LA? It was always because he wasn't, like, that great of a teammate from what I read. And then when he went to LA, like you said, his thing was he wanted to be in Korea. Like, he wanted to play for a Korean team, which he got.
Yeah.
But
yeah, which he got, and maybe he just wanted, you know, to eventually he saw maybe a long game where, you know, I'm going to force myself into a situation when we do home games. I want to be playing for a Korean team, but whatever. I mean, I still don't think highly of him. But on the other hand, you also had Remix, who took over for Fissure as the main tank and did a really good job in making their playoff push as being that Reinhardt and Winston player that they needed. He was solid. He wasn't a glaring weakness on the team, and he's gone. So there's two of your main tanks gone from a team, in a season where you need tank players. But Roar is coming in. He's going to be your main tank, and everything that I read about the guy, I haven't really watched a whole lot of VODs or video on him, but he's essentially going to step in and be a better Remix. He's not going to be Fissure level. He's not going to give you that type of MVP for performance, but he's going to be solid. Maybe an upgrade over Remix. It just sucks that they have to integrate him into the team. He's really only their, I think, the one starting player that's going to be new on this team. So there's a lot of continuity coming in. Are coming back to a playoff team last year and should be a playoff team this year, especially if Sure4 takes his game to the next level. But, you know, so you have your strong tank play there. And then you have a support line that is coming back together, both Finnish players. So you have that synergy there and language, you know, to help out. They're both World Cup players too, so they have that experience. They have just ton of experience coming in, and I mean, should be a solid season for them for sure. I don't see them taking a step back. I just wonder with this team, like, they have so many options there at DPS and a meta that doesn't really call for DPS. So you have this young Phenom superstar talent in Hydration that doesn't really have a place. I feel like a lot of teams are stacking DPS.
I feel like a lot of teams are stacking DPS. I understand, and like I think I said it last week, I understand that players can flex. I understand that these guys are pros, and they can probably play a Brigitte or a D.Va, or at least you can train them on it, right? But I would still rather have that pure player, you know? I'd rather go out and sign a tank rather than teaching one of my DPS to learn it. You know, we kind of saw that with Dallas Fuel last year, where they had Mickey learning D.Va on the fly. Well, he wasn't really doing that well. And then they said Siegel. Well, that's why, though. Well, that's why they did it, because Mickey was playing D.Va, but he wasn't really, he was okay, but not playing
which
it.
Which was bizarre because he's a really good D.Va player, but he was struggling at the beginning
right.
of the season.
So
for
then
sure.
you bring in Siegel, who's kind of a jack of all trades, to learn it. And again, okay, right? They're okay as a flex because they play the game so much, they know everything, you know? But you just are missing that natural ability on why they play a DPS in the first place. Moving on to our third Chinese team, the Guangzhou Charge. Is that right?
Guangzhou.
The Charge. Guangzhou. We're just going to call them that. Yeah. Now, this one's interesting to me. I don't know why, and maybe this is me being uneducated in the Chinese culture, but I feel like the all-Chinese teams make sense, right? They're a very proud nation. They want the full Chinese roster or even like a full Korean roster. Mm-hmm. This one is odd because you have people all over the place. You have one, two, three, four, five, six Korean speakers, two Chinese speakers, one from the UK, and one from America.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't. It's going to be rough. I mean, it's going to be rough to integrate those players. I mean, that was part of...
You have, and those, the Korean players, by the way, are all coming from the same team, Meta Bullum.
Well, not all but one.
All but what?
Korean player person on the team. And maybe that one Korean person on that team is going to be maybe their saving grace because it's Hotba. He was a playoff. He was in the playoffs last year with the Fusion, and the Fusion are also a roster that are mixed with mixed nation players. So I'm maybe just, he can come in and kind of help out, but it's going to be rough
because these players were playing on all Korean teams. And you got to think, the four guys from Meta are probably going to be your starting, right? You're pulling four guys from the same team for a reason. They're probably locked in to be starters. And then what? You throw in an American and an Englishman?
I don't even know if the American plays, to be honest. I mean,
for Nero? Kib? Nero. Kib, yeah. Kib is UK. He's from England.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean...
And then you have Eileen and Only Wish, which are Chinese. And we saw that, I mean, that was part of the issue with Shanghai last year, was a clear language issue. There was a clear language gap with all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I definitely don't have them as a playoff team. I don't think they're going to be in that top half or, you know, middle of the pack in contention.
I feel like this might, type of and situation. Like, even then, like their GM, Ethan, looking here, he's from America. He might speak, I assume, if you're a GM in the Overwatch League, you speak Korean. So,
yeah, I mean, Ethan Lude, did you maybe got there for his last name?
I stereotyped. But, like, Ethan, that guy doesn't speak any other language. Oh, Lou. He might speak Korean.
He might speak some Mandarin.
It's this roster to me is all over the place. For the language barrier alone, I you might want to put this one down for your disaster of season two.
Maybe along with the Washington Justice, who we covered a couple of days ago, but yeah, I mean, you're really, and this is me just kind of thinking outside the box. Your only real hope to maybe helping out with callouts or some sort of, you know, system there is going to be Hotba, who I don't see how he doesn't start, being that he was on a playoff team and has the OWL experience from last year. I don't see it being a I don't see it being a very good season for the Charge.
What do I have here next on it is San Francisco Shock. Let's move on to them. Ninth overall last season, 17-23. A little bit of a disappointment. I think it's weird with this roster. They have made some changes. Let me get to my list here. Dante, we talked last year, or in the offseason, went to Houston. Rascal ended up signing in from their contenders team. He was called up. Stryker ended up joining from Boston. And IDDQ is a free agent.
Yeah, I mean,
that kind of blows my mind. I think it's because you're white. Competitive Overwatch, right?
Oh, I mean, he's definitely part of the old guard. He's an OG. I mean, Overwatch hasn't been out for that long, but I mean, he's one of the OGs. And I just think that as Overwatch got more popular and more players came in, he just kind of got pushed out. I don't know if we see him on another team, to be honest, unless maybe he wants to go to one of the Chinese teams or something like that. Maybe a team that's struggling, but this is definitely not going to be one of those teams that's going to struggle. I mean, you look at the people that left, and you know there's some notable players there that they're going to miss.
Definitely got better though.
They definitely got better. They have
improved. And like I said, I didn't feel like they weren't, despite having a losing record. I think they were one of the better teams of the bottom tier teams, if that makes sense.
They definitely underperformed. They underachieved. That's a good way to put it. I mean, they underachieved, and I mean, that could have been a playoff roster last year, but for whatever reason, it didn't materialize. But they're bringing in some players that are really going to help. One being Stryker, who played at an MVP caliber for Boston and was a big part of their, stage four run, stage three run into the playoffs. Most of his damage that he did and most of the impact he made was part of being an ungodly Tracer player, which, in this current meta, we may not see a whole lot of that. Maybe he's been practicing some other heroes, but I mean, he was just insane there on that role. And this team definitely has options. And you mentioned this earlier, Tim, teams are stacking DPS players, and this team is number one when it comes to DPS talent. And what are they going to do with these players? I mean, you got Stryker, you got Rascal, who was part of the London's team and was supposed to be a big part of that early last year, but it, for whatever reason, didn't work out. They got Sinatra, they got
Fuel.
Baby Bay.
He was in Fuel. Yeah, it didn't
work out there. But I mean, they have four legitimate big options there in a meta that really doesn't call for DPS. Now Sinatra, I think they're going to have Sinatra start out as maybe like a Zarya. He's really good with that hero. So we'll probably see him there in that role, which will free up a DPS spot for somebody else. Stryker is probably going to be the go-to guy for that. But yeah, it's definitely,
I think they could have a bright season. I think they could have a really, a turnaround season from last year. I like who they picked up. I mean, yeah, Dante, we even talked about last week how Dante's a huge pickup for Houston. And he is. Mm-hmm. He's as equally as a huge pickup as Loss. But thankfully, I feel like getting Stryker is a good replacement for Dante.
It's an upgrade.
It definitely helps cushion that blow.
It's a definite upgrade in a roster that's half Korean. It's good to bring in. So it's pretty much 50-50 with your lone Swedish player there. 50-50 American and Korean. So I mean, shouldn't have too much issue in the way of maybe language barriers, what have you. Their weakness, the only way, well, let's bring that up last. Just want to mention their support players real quick. They're going to be great in that category. You got Sleepy, who was part of Team USA, their Overwatch World Cup roster, a standout Zenyatta player, so you know you're going to be solid on that back line. And Moth, who, we weren't talking bad about him last year as a Mercy player or Lucio player. So, he's another solid option there. on a hero that you really should be, unless you're the fuel and chips and you die often stupidly. You know, but he's going to be a solid option there. But I think that the only way this team does not make the playoffs, we'll be talking about that tank line. So we'll see there. I really feel that like maybe that's going to be a weakness on their team. I really won't know until I see them, but I haven't really heard a whole lot of good things there on that front. So if they don't make it, it's going to be that reason. It's not going to be because of like DPS and support play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting team to watch. I think they're going to be on the fringe, definitely competing for a playoff spot.
We do have our fourth and final Chinese team, part of the expansion. Again, the Hangzhou Spark. A team that has the best color scheme.
That seems to be the talk of the town. Yeah,
the cotton candy color scheme is amazing. They have a very stupid logo. They got the finger gun. I don't like their logo, but their colors are nice.
From the anime, I forget what the anime is, but that's what they based it off of.
Oh, was
apparently.
It?
Yeah.
Is it Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yeah.
That's what I got. Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yeah. Yakuza? That's what it's based off of.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I respect that. That was a good show. I haven't seen it in years, but okay. Yeah. I can respect that. Anyways, you can see how much we know about the Spark when we bring up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't Yu Yu Hakusho. What was it?
Dude, I don't know. I may be missing off like half of our fan base.
No, I'm looking this up. I won't be able to
live look at Tim scrolling through the internet.
Was it? Hold on. Just talk.
Okay. So let's look at a bright spot on this team. This is a guy that was a standout player in the Overwatch World Cup. The analysts were just going gaga over him, and that's Yuxu. Guxue.
Yu Yu Hakusho. Right. I was right.
Okay. Man, see, look at you. You know your anime.
I should never question my anime knowledge. I'm sorry.
But
we don't need to bog down the show with that. I was right all along.
There you go. But this is going to be a bright spot on their team. A standout player, worked really well with his teammates as the Reinhardt and even Jayne went crazy over this guy's Winston play. There's a video of that out there. So you got the bright spot there, which, you know, we've kind of hammered this point home in the episode that we did earlier this week and the episode we're doing today. Tank play is going to be very, very, very important. It's going to be priority one in this current meta, and you got a main tank there that's going to be solid. So
one of the things that stands out with this roster to me is it's a little bit of Spitfire 2.0 from last year. Not as bad, where Spitfire literally bought the two top Korean rosters and said, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But they do pretty much are made up of two teams. They got three guys from Seven and four guys from X6 Gaming, all from the Korean Contenders League. And then they have a few people sprinkled in there from not those two teams.
Yeah, Lucky Future Zenith, who
I am
won
curious on what happens
Chinese
there.
Contenders, I think. Yeah.
It didn't work out. Well, I say it didn't work out for London. They won the championship last year. So clearly something worked for them. But, and even Jack will tell you this, because I asked him in the post-game press conference at the finals last year, and he'll even tell you the two-team experiment did not work. You know, he was like, I thought I was going to be able to get two teams and just say, hey, you guys were really good as separate teams. What if I just get you all on my team and it will work? And it didn't.
And we talked about that earlier.
Half of
the
them
season.
Were cut.
Egos. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have players that are just going to not be okay with that. So
that's what I'm curious to see what happens there. I think a lot of these expansion teams, their season could go either way. Either way.
This is definitely going to be one of those fringe teams. But,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. We have LA Valiant. Got second overall last year, 27-13. Got third and fourth in the playoffs. They're not changing a whole lot. You have Soon and Fincy are both. They both signed with Paris, as we talked last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really haven't changed a whole lot of their roster. I don't know if they necessarily need to. I mean, they only added, how do you say his name? Kukai? I'm not going to say it the other way. I'm not going to take my third guess on that name, but they added him from Seoul. Literally, other than that, though, they've only added one player. The only people they dropped are people that weren't really playing a whole lot. I mean, you saw Soon a little bit last year, but you didn't really see him all that often.
So this is gonna be another team, much like the LA Gladiators, that's just gonna slide one player in at an off support role in Zen. I mean, a lot of continuity coming back, and this is gonna be a team that's gonna compete. They're gonna be right up there. They're in my top five, and a big part of the reason I have them in my top five is because of that tank line. That tank line is going to be their strength, and it could possibly be one of the best tank lines in OWL right now. Space, he stiff-armed one of the a really good D.Va player in my mind has gone blank, but he took over a spot that was already solid on that team and just kind of took off with it. Real standout player for an underachieving U.S. roster at the Overwatch World Cup, was a big part of their playoff push, has crazy tracking with D.Va. He's very smart, plays smart, and you have a top three tank player or main tank player in Fate on your roster too, who is just insane.
So you put them over
on
Gladiators then as being like the best California team?
Definitely. Yeah. I think this is the best Californian team out there right now. And a large part of that is going to be that tank line. And Custa, I mean, good for him. I was a little skeptical of when he moved from the Fuel over to the Valiant. I thought that was a good move for Dallas. You know, it worked out for Dallas, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But it also, in the end, worked out for the Valiant when I really didn't think it was. And Custa was, I mean, one of the best players on their team. A big reason why they went on and did so well in the playoffs as a leader on the team, but also as a solid Mercy player. Plays smart, doesn't die a whole lot. I'm kind of sad that it didn't work out and maybe they didn't use him as much here that they should have. I'm a little salty about that, but again, it kind of worked out for both teams. But
and when he was in Dallas, it was all it was a mess.
It was a mess. Yeah, I mean, that team was a mess. Really, the only reason why I see maybe it won't work out on this roster is what are they going to do with the DPS talent that they have on this team, and Kariv, Bunny, and Agilities. Now, Agilities is going to be that flex player. He's really good at several different heroes, so they'll find ways to kind of get him in there, or you know, maybe sneak him in there, you know, as a Genji player if they needed, or Zarya, what have you. But Bunny, I mean, they have Bunny and Kariv that are two really good DPS players, in a meta that really doesn't call for a whole lot of DPS. So I'm interested to see what they do there. They'll find ways to incorporate. But, I mean, where they need to be strong, they are. So that's why I see them in the top five. I don't know how the new support player is going to step in and do. But, I mean, that's to be seen on the 13th when they play.
Are they one of the starting ones?
I think so.
Well, the 13th, the season kicks off the 14th, right? So they at least got to be the
14th. Well, that's when the Fuel play, I think, right?
Fuel play the 15th. I'm wrong. That's the watch party.
I'm wrong. I'm bad. Don't
I think you're
me.
Just 2 days ahead. You're just your schedule is pushed ahead.
I just wanted to happen so bad. Yeah, that's right.
Looking here at the next team, then the last expansion team, you have Vancouver Titans, which is a very interesting team when it comes to an expansion team, and I want to pay close attention to them because they picked up the runaway roster from the Korean Contenders League. They just won season 3 a couple weeks ago. I mean, they're a fan favorite. They've been around a while, and this is why I'm curious about this roster, because in part one of our preview and this preview, I've always been preaching, like, look, don't count these guys out because they've never played in Overwatch League. They've been in Korea, which to me, the talent is just better.
Yeah.
And this is the role model, right? This is where the bar is set for Korean talent. And I'm not talking about Seoul Dynasty. I'm talking about guys that were not in the league, played in Korea. Can they come over to the Overwatch League and just pick it up like that?
I would say because they're coming from Korea and all they did was win over there, I say that they're definitely going to be a playoff team here. But I still don't have them being better than full Korean rosters like, you know, NYXL, London Spitfire, or maybe even Seoul Dynasty for that matter. You know, I could see them being maybe the fourth best Korean, all Korean or mostly Korean roster out there. But there's still some that are better. I mean, there's a reason why those other three Korean teams were here first. You know, they came over here to be part of a bigger situation. So,
let me ask you this too, because in the preview, and when I say previews, I mean like all the other Overwatch League, you know, preview articles and everything that I've read, everything that I've listened to, people keep saying the Pacific Division is going to be the better division. And we've looked at these rosters now for weeks and the whole offseason, seeing it built, and here we are even talking about it. And my gut still tells me that, like, Vancouver is going to have an easier time playing in the Pacific Division. I think the Atlantic Division is the stronger one. I don't feel like the Pacific Division is as strong. Now, it's more even, you know. I think the Atlantic Division is more top-heavy with, like, London, New York, Philly, Boston, you know, teams like that. So maybe from that point of view, the Pacific is going to be more difficult.
So, yeah, I mean, you're definitely top heavy. So I see four playoff teams in the Atlantic Division, in Boston, London.
Well, you're going to spoil your predictions.
Okay. But I mean, I definitely see, I'm looking at, not going to name names, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Pacific Division teams that are going to compete for a playoff spot. So, I mean, that's 6 of 10. So, I mean, I don't think it's as, like, lopsided as most people are bringing it out to be. I just think it's slightly tilted on the Pacific Division being, the overall best division. Or let's not even say best. Let's say more competitive.
Okay. Let's just say more competitive. If you want to say more competitive, I 100% will agree with you. Because I do think, like, for the reasons I just said, the teams are more evenly matched in the Pacific. So you are going to have a lot of more close games, where in Atlantic, I think you have the better teams.
Yeah.
But you're just going to, you know, the bottom and the top are so far apart in the Atlantic.
Yeah, and maybe the analysts are just, maybe this is a conversation that we can really, really dig our teeth into and have. You know, maybe next year, if they decide that, hey, we're going to have this amount of teams come from this division, this amount of teams come from this division, and then let's go. But I mean, there only one team is guaranteed to come out of the Atlantic and Pacific. So we're like, okay, who's going to compete for number one? If we're talking about the Atlantic division, that's a really tough conversation to have.
Right.
But if we're talking about the Pacific Division, that top spot may not be as difficult a difficult conversation to be had, maybe, but not as difficult as the Atlantic Division.
All right. Well, let's have that conversation in a little bit. Vancouver, again, not a whole lot to say about them, in my opinion. Their team runaway, to me, it's one of those things where we're just going to have to wait and see how they perform. You have up next is Seoul Dynasty, which has easily the most disappointing first season. In a way, their season was more disappointing than going 0-40 as a Dragons fan, because this team was a team, hands down, I think everybody predicted the Dynasty to win the league. Like, anyone who was actually putting money down said the Dynasty are going to win. They didn't even make playoffs. They got eighth overall, went 22-18, and they had quite a bit of roster overhaul. Their coaching staff completely got gutted out. You have, for people that we've already talked about with other teams, Zephyr went to Florida. You have Guido went to Washington. We have already mentioned Kuki went to Los Angeles, the Valiant.
Mira retired, which that was a kind of a head scratcher for me that he couldn't find another team to play for, or maybe he didn't want to play. I don't know, but
you always take these retirements in quotes, right?
They're 20-year-olds retiring.
Yeah, right. And then they ended up picking up Fissure, though, like we mentioned, and a handful of others.
Yeah, I mean,
again, I think it's they improved. They improved, but so did other teams. And after seeing how they performed last year, I'm not as highly, like, I don't think last year was just like, oh, well, they'll turn around, because, and we'll talk about this in a second with Dallas Fuel, where the Dallas Fuel started out awful and you saw improvement, right? And that's what I'm looking for. When I'm looking at these teams coming into season two, almost take seasons one, two, and like half of stage three and throw them away. You know, do not bring up to me like, well, this team had a really good stage one last year. We're like four or five major patches away from stage one. Like,
yeah, that was good dive, for them. Right?
Yeah, that was a dive meta. Like, good for you. You won stage one last year. Well, that's really cool. Hey, NYXL, how do you feel about winning all the stages last year and then completely falling over in the playoffs? Like, don't get me started on the stage setup. I know why they do it. It's so they can implement patches and players can get breaks and everything like that. But please do not show me your trophy case with your stage one or two or three victories. I don't care about those. I'm on a rant right now. I need to digress. This is a celebration
unless,
of Overwatch.
Unless you want to talk about the Dallas Fuel making the stage four playoffs, then I will talk about that all day long. You're not going to stop me talking about that.
You can talk about it in the sense of like they improved.
Yeah, no,
but don't raise the banner for a stage victory.
Yeah,
don't
raise the banner
that
for a playoff appearance,
especially for ones that were like last season on completely different patches. You know, the game is completely different. So I get back to my point of we saw the opposite happen with Dynasty. They started strong, and as you got closer and closer to the meta that we are now with Brigitte being more involved, they were awful. Awful.
Yeah, and you're mentioning that you start off well and then you just finish awful, and you see that in the player movement. you see what the product of that is. And they bring in a guy, and you mentioned his name just a moment ago in Fissure. That's going to be the biggie for me. Can he be the Fissure of MVP caliber that he was for the Gladiators early? If he is, I mean, he's going to be part of a tank line that's going to be pretty awesome. And we don't have to worry about their back line either. That back line wasn't the issue last year. They're bringing back Jay Hong as a standout Zen player. Kind of the old guard captain of the team, and Toby, who's a solid Ana and Mercy player. So they're bringing back some continuity there. They're, you know, filling in that tank void with an MVP caliber player in Fissure, and then they have really good DPS options, with Fleta being priority one, fitting him into the roster, and then also finding a way that to maybe sneak in Munchkin when the time's right. So I would be shocked if they did not make the playoffs this year with that roster. I would be shocked. Like with the players they're bringing back, with the player that they're inserting in, if they do not make the playoffs, this would be the, I mean, they were already the biggest disappointment last year. I mean, you can talk about the fuel all you want, but this team not making the playoffs, that was the biggest disappointment. And it's going to be the same this year. If they do not make the playoffs, because we know that the teams that are up there in the top four, those teams are making it. Pencil them in. They're making it. You know, shut it down. Close case. But this team, if they don't make the playoffs, this is going to be a huge disappointment. We may see more coaching changes and roster turnover.
I don't know if I'm as sold as you are. You know, they just...
Really?
I can't get over their season one. I can't get over it. Stage one, they went 7-3, dive meta. Stage two, 7-3, dive meta. Stage three, 5-5, somewhat dive meta. Stage four, you introduce Brigitte, 3-7.
Yeah.
And what is similar between then and now? Brigitte.
Well, I mean, Brigitte. But, I mean, new coaching staff, and I just think that, I mean, Korean players, they adjust better. So I'm sure that they have addressed that issue and are more prepared now coming into this season to address that issue. I still don't see them even on the fringe.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that they definitely improved in a role that is going to be the biggest role in Tank, and they're bringing back continuity on the back line. So I don't know.
Let's move on to our last team to preview for the Overwatch League season two overall, not even just for the Pacific division. And it's pretty much was Seoul's counterpart for season one, our local team, the Dallas Fuel. Very similar. If you're just looking at season one, they ended the season 10th overall, 12-28. This is why I say, if you're trying to critique a team as far as, well, they had a bad last season, okay, don't show me stages one and two, because the dive meta, that's what those were, and we're not in a dive meta. It's a completely different game from stages one and two. That's where Dallas really struggled last year. They went in stage one with dive meta, 3-7, 2-8, 1-9 in stage three. And then stage four, they went 6-4 and made it to the stage playoffs. Now, you could say a lot of factors went in. We don't need to have a full season recap, but you had XQC, right? You had that drama lasting for a stage and a half or so. Effects went missing for another stage or two. They had just a rough overall season, but again, this was a team that people were projecting to get first or second in the, like, not even overall, but like in the playoffs, you were either going to be champions or runner up if you were the Dallas Fuel. So a lot has changed since then. Leaving players, you have Chips. We talked about him earlier, a little tongue in cheek. I don't know if it was the team, or he just found ways to die as Zenyatta that I've never seen before.
Or Mercy, for that matter.
But that dude was dead.
I mean,
all the time.
And the stats all proved the it, too. Yeah.
Every time you were like, where's Chips? Oh, he's respawning. Okay.
Yeah, he's you have look at the kill feed.
Siegel retired. Went back to streaming. And Coco is now a assistant coach. So he's still with the org, just as an assistant coach. Bringing in players, you have Zachary being DPS, kind of a flex tank.
Flex tank, yeah.
That's how I'm going to say his name, by the way.
Zachary.
You have Closer, previously being on London as a support. Huge pickup. And then you have RCK as to be... they have him down as a flex. He's a tank. He's going to be your tank. He's going to be OGE's buddy.
Especially,
and that's not even to bring up before we get into that, because I do want to talk about their coaching staff too. You now have Arrow is official. You know, he was there at the end of last season, but he's going to have a full season under his belt now. You saw how well the team did. And then you have Jane now being on the team full time. And for those who don't know, he is the same guy who coached Team Canada. You see him, if you watch Overwatch on Twitch, you've definitely seen him go over film and, you know, kind of review everybody's tapes and things like that. And I think that's going to be a huge, huge factor into their season. So I don't know where you want to start with the fuel, but we can start with the players. We can start with the coaches, whatever you want to do.
Let's start with the coaches and kind of like just the team, the overall organization. Last year left a bad taste in their mouth with the XQC debacle and all of that. In stage four, they addressed those issues. And I feel like this year, I mean, just look at their coaching staff. Look at the people that they have on staff. They are leaving no stone unturned. I mean, I think there's really only like one other team out there. I think it's the LA Gladiators that has as big of a coaching staff as the Fuel have. So they don't want what happened last year to happen to them again this year. When Kaikai was coach, not trying to throw him under the bus, or maybe I am, I don't know. But I mean, adjustments, and we talked about this in episodes in season one, their adjustments were the worst in the league. They did not adjust at all to any meta or you know, any current in-game situation.
In-game situations was the thing that drove me insane.
Yeah, and that was a huge miss on their team. But now they have the coaching staff in place. We know the organization. They're solid from within. They take really good care of their players. They provide everything that the players need to keep their mental state in check, but also provide them with, kick-ass facilities to practice in and just be comfortable. So they address that issue. Adjusting and just the current overall team composition and mental state should not come into question this year. So,
and that is something though that I'm going to start questioning, because you have Effect being back now. Effect last year went MIA for that exact reason, right? It was just, he was homesick from what we were told. He wanted to go home. So he went home and then he was like, hey, I'm going to stay here for a little bit. And so he stayed. So the Fuel missed him out for pretty much the whole second half of the season. He's back. He's in LA. We're told he's good to go. I don't want to say I don't believe them, but I'm also going to say I won't be surprised that if the season starts up, all of a sudden he's like, oh, I remember why I didn't like this. I'm going to go home.
Yeah, I mean, at least at this point, I mean, you're losing a world-class player on that front, but you have some players. You have a player, at least, as a go-to in Zachary that can kind of step into that role and be effective, or maybe Taimu that can step into that role as a DPS and not have to step in as a main tank when... Because a lot of things were going bad for the Fuel at once, right? Yeah, last year, so I mean, it was an avalanche of just problems.
This is why my belief of, like, I don't want my DPS playing tanks come into play. Because, like, last year they tried forcing Taimu onto Winston. And even Taimu was like, what are you guys doing? Like,
I mean, he was not silent about that.
Like,
he was not silent.
Do not put me on Winston. Like, I'll do it. If you tell, okay, coach, you want me to play him? Okay.
And like, to his credit, you could definitely tell there was a skill gap between he and other Winston players.
Like, they were
but
like, look, dude, just get us to the finish line, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Just get us to the finish line.
So that being said, if Effect steps out, you do have Zachary and Taimu that can step in. Really, the only way I see the Fuel just being like, oh my god, why, is if OGE gets suspended again.
Yeah,
because there is no other main tank on this team. No other legit main tank on this team that can fill OGE's role. So that's really the only spot on the team where you're like, oh my God, please.
Maybe,
just
maybe that was part of their strategy when making this roster, was because they saw the mental effect, from last year, where they were like, we don't want that to happen again with any player. We don't want mental fatigue from any of our guys. So let's get guys that can flex on DPS and tank, that can be rotated throughout, and so we can give our guys more of a break here and there. Maybe.
Yeah, it,
that's me kind of maybe overthinking it, but because like you said, and they strangely have a lot of guys that can be rotated out.
Yeah, I mean, our RCK and Zachary are both flex players, two new guys, so they step in and give the team flexibility in that front. So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely in a better situation. I mean, we thought they were in a decent situation last year when they got XQC and all that. But, I mean, hindsight, they didn't have a very good situation at the beginning of the season. So I'm looking at this roster and I'm saying that they have a good situation going in. They have the right roster to kind of go forward and push for a playoff spot. I'm not going to go out and go all crazy like I did last season and say they're going to be, you know, 1B or 1A with the dynasty or anything like that. But I think they will be right there in the mix to compete for one of the final playoff spots.
Right. Well, for the same reason I'm not comfortable with the dynasty is the same reason I am comfortable with the fuel, because in stage four, you did see them completely turn it around. The attitude was different. You know, it wasn't even just their play. It was their attitude that changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel like that really carried over. You know, you ended the season on a high note. You've added better players, got rid of worse players. Like, just looking from last season to today, it's kind of hard for me to make a you know, like, okay, what is going to keep them out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, they're really strong in areas that they need to be strong in. OGE, he's an all-star at the main tank role. The RCK, he's a solid D.Va player. I'm thinking, and on this team, they have two of the best Brigitte players in OWL. Definitely in Mickey. Mickey is outstanding. Standing with Brigitte, he's insane with her, and he's kind of taken that role on and kind of rolled with it and laughed about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When other players are just like, please don't make me play this character again, like Zachary has done, which is the other guy that plays Brigitte very well. So there's some flexibility there. So
and he's young. I guess that would be one thing, right? Is he super young and super vocal?
And you look at his player pool, you know, Genji, Doomfist, he's a really good Doomfist player. He's a fidgety 18-year-old guy that just wants to be mobile, right? He just wants to be all over the place and making plays. So so they're strong on that front. So they're going to be really strong going into this GOATS meta. But I still don't think they're kind of that top upper echelon, you know, OWL talent. I'm looking more at maybe like 7 or 8, kind of in that area.
Okay.
And a big reason why, and I'm going to be interested to see how the season goes on this front, is Harry Hook, the leader on the team. Harry Hook kind of got lost last year. I mean, he stepped in and played a really good Ana, stepped in and played Mercy when he needed to, played Zen too. He played all support positions. But he's known to be a Lucio player. And Lucio, I think, is going to be a bigger part of this meta. So we may see kind of like a coming out party for Harry Hook. But in obvious situations where this team needs a Mercy or needs an Ana, you have a better option in Closer to come in and fill that role. And you're not going to say, okay, Unco, you know, Harry Hook's going to take this on Zen. You can just kind of, you know, step to the side. Unco's fantastic in that role. So I'm kind of interested to see how they flex out their main support with Harry Hook and Closer, because they're bringing in Closer, who is part of a good team in the Spitfire. He didn't start, but he could have pretty much started anywhere else in the league, right? So I'm kind of, that's, I mean, I know a lot about the Fuel, but that's one spot where I'm like, I wonder what they're going to do in that main support role. That's one question mark I have. It's a good question mark.
Yeah.
But it's still a question mark.
If I had to dig for a question mark, and I've even posted this on the Fuel subreddit earlier today of like, what is your like ideal meta for this roster? Because like we said, like they really only have one true tank. Yes, you have some of the DPS that can flex on others, but you really only have one true tank, and we're in a very tank heavy meta. You know, from a Fuel's perspective, are they comfortable with the GOATs meta, or do they play it because they know they have to? You know, I'm kind of curious to see if maybe they make their own meta with the type of rosters they have, right? Like to have, I get that Effect can play Brigetta, but to not have him on a DPS to me is a waste. You have a world-class, one of the best DPS players in the league, and you're forcing him to play Brigetta.
Yeah, I mean, they're, and Jayne and Arrow will find a way to kind of fit him in.
And I think that's where that roster comes into play. I think that's where Kai, again, not to always bag on him, but I feel like that's where he kind of tripped up. Where with a roster like Fuel, you got to be creative. You know, you have to think outside of the meta, think outside of the box. And I think that's something that Jayne is really going to help out.
Yeah, and there are offsets of GOATs where you can throw in a DPS and still run it and be effective against like a straight GOATs lineup. So they'll find ways to make Effect effective. God, we're going to use that way too much, right?
Yeah, I don't like it already. I already don't like it. It's already annoying to me.
But I definitely see this. I mean, I don't even want to say definitely that they're going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. They may be one of those play-in teams to play for a playoff spot. So it's not going to be like last year, Fuel fans, right? We're not going to be like depressed and like, oh my God, you know, this is going to be another loss, for sure loss. Like, why are we even watching this? They're going to be competitive. They're not going to get blown out like they did last year. They're going to be right in the thick of things. So, you know,
so let's get with the, let's start with our predictions here then, so we can tie a bow on our season two preview part two overall. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Give me, who are the two lock teams? One team from Atlantic, one team from Pacific.
Oh man, the Atlantic's rough. I wouldn't even say lock, but who I think is going to win is going to be NYXL. I think last year just left a bad taste in their mouth. They have the roster there to just take over that division. So I'm going to go with the NYXL for the Atlantic.
Me too.
Yeah.
London, yeah, they won their defending champs, and maybe we're not giving them enough respect, but I was so shocked by NYXL's performance in the playoffs. Like I don't even, like, you almost want to just throw that tape away and look at the larger picture. And the fact is they were number one all season last year. So I think they're still going to come out of the Atlantic. For Pacific, see, this is why I think the Pacific is a harder division. This is where you can make an argument, because Atlantic, you were just thinking, is it London or New York? You know, it's either London or New York. It's going to be one of those two. I don't know which one. In Pacific, you're like, and you don't want to be a homer and pick the Fuel. Man, you go first. I was going to go first.
All right.
But you go first.
All right. So I mentioned earlier in this episode, they were one of my top five teams in the league. And, you know, I really have them at kind of like in that three area. That's going to be the Los Angeles Valiant. I think the Valiant have enough players coming back with continuity. They filled in a spot with a solid player at support. So I'm going to go ahead and just go on a limb and say the Valiant are going to be the best team in this very competitive Pacific Division.
Yeah, it really is going to be competitive. I'm going to have to go with the Dallas Fuel. I'll go with the Dallas Fuel to be first.
You're going
to
look like a genius if you're right. Like,
I'll go with them. I can't talk myself out of it. I don't know. I got to take off my blue shaded glasses, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not wearing my Fuel shirt right now. Maybe that's why I didn't pick them.
And now no, give me... So there's the two automatic.
Let's just do four, so, right?
Well, just give me, I guess...
What about the salt? The top six get in, right? Top six?
Well, okay. So you have 12 teams that make the playoffs, right?
Right.
So you have the 12 and then top
seven, eight, nine
go in as top far
eight
as...
Okay. So, I mean, we could do top eight. I mean, I could pick out, so, you know,
so pick
I definitely
six
have
more
top
teams.
Four, but...
Pick your six. Okay. Because now, so if people forgot or maybe you didn't listen to the first part of our last episode, the only two teams that are guaranteed to make the playoffs are the two teams that win their division. After that, it's fair game. All other teams can come from one division. So it's just whoever's best at the time.
So I'll do the eight. So already mentioned NYXL being my one, LA Valiant being two. Three would be London Spitfire. Four would be the Uprising. Five would be the Valiant. Six would be the Dynasty. Seven will be the Shock. That's six, right? Or seven?
Yep.
I mentioned.
No, that
okay.
was seven. You said seven.
That was seven.
I think.
And then four, and there's eight playoffs. There's eight playoff.
We're going with top 10. Eight. We're just picking top eight.
Top eight. Okay.
There's technically 12 spots, but.
And give me, God, I'm torn between Vancouver and Dallas right now. So, I guess give me Vancouver. Give me the Ooh. Team that won the Korean Contenders League.
Man, you don't even have Dallas being
Dallas
top
Fuel.
Eight.
No, I think they're going to compete, but I see a lot of rosters out there that were already better than them in stage four, and you have new teams and new players coming in that are better than that roster now. So yeah, give me the Titans as the eight spot.
So here are mine. I already picked the Fuel and NYXL to make it out. So give me London, give me Boston, that's four. Give me Seoul, I think Seoul will make top eight, that's five. Give me Philly.
Okay.
I think Valiant and Vancouver.
That's solid. I mean, there's so once you get to about five, that's when it gets really tough. Because
yeah,
because
I wanted to say Paris.
You have,
but I didn't want to pick two expansion teams.
Yeah, I mean, you have. The fringe teams, you know, after five, you have Fusion, you have Vancouver, you have Dallas, you have the Shock, you have Paris, you have Atlanta that could be surprising. I mean, you have Toronto that could
be
interesting.
You just don't know how that Pacific Division could eat each other alive, though. That's the thing, right? Yeah. Paris can beat up on Toronto, they can beat up on Washington, they can beat up on Florida and Atlanta. Right?
Yeah.
They have more teams that they can just beat up on. Where in the Pacific Division, you're like, damn, like apart from the Hunters and Hunters in Charge,
mm-hmm.
you just don't know. I mean, even with those teams, they're expansion teams. And honestly, you can't say one way or the other with an expansion team.
So,
it doesn't look good for them, but you just don't know.
So essentially, I could pick out five for sures. And then after that, it's a roll of the dice. Slap in the base, man. but yeah, I mean, it's a crapshoot.
All right.
After five.
Give me, Brett, your Overwatch League Season 2 champion.
New York. NYXL. Lock it.
As
Throw
Brett's...
in the key.
Brett's TCR lock for season two.
Yeah.
NYXL. After a triumphant return from their failures in season one. My season two Overwatch League champion, the TCR lock of the season, your Dallas Fuel.
Oh my God, you're such a homer. Oh,
I think they're going to go 28-0.
Hey,
28-0. They're not going to lose a map. The Fuel are going to make this. It's going to be embarrassing what they do to the league this year. The league, Blizzard is going to be like, how do we patch them out of the game?
One of us has to be, because we have a relationship with the Fuel, so I respect it. All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
I think it will be the easiest championship the Fuel ever win. And they're going to laugh about season one, how they just tricked everyone.
Man, I hope you make me look stupid, Tim. All right?
I'm going to make everyone look stupid. That pick was a lock. I remember the last time they made a lock. Cloud9 won a major. So you just remember that. You remember that.
You remember.
Good.
That was fun.
Good season two preview, Brett. Good season two preview.
Thanks, Tim.
Season starts in 1 week exactly from today. I have no idea who kicks it off, though, because I can only preview so much. And honestly, when we were thinking about doing the previews, I was like, who cares about the schedule, right? We'll figure that out as we go. I don't care about this. I'm not breaking down game by game. Like, are you kidding?
We're gonna do another episode before then. So we got you, listener, that doesn't know how to look at the internet.
Doing two episodes in 1 week really throws me off. Just to say it does start next week on Valentine's Day. So what a lovely date to have. It kicking off at 6 p.m. I assume this is Central Time. So, yep. Philly and London, a rematch of the championship. You got Boston, New York, Seoul versus Gladiators, and the Shock versus Shanghai.
All right, so Tim, you're really good at doing this. So I'm gonna throw a curveball at you. Give me over under, and we're just looking at Twitch viewership. Mm-hmm. Over under 175,000.
Over.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Over.
At least.
Oh, dude, I bet you could have said 250.
Yeah. It's going to be massive.
I think it'll be over.
It's going to be insane.
I am curious. Yeah. Like I said, I am an Overwatch fan, obviously. And you do have the Overwatch haters out there who, for whatever reason, just want to see it fail. I don't know why. It's an enjoyable game. I don't know why everyone just enjoys seeing other esports fail. And I know people are like, well, the player base is dropped in Overwatch. I just feel like when the hype turns around, you know, you're going to get people watching again. Even if they stopped playing the game, it's just going to, I don't know. I don't see in my brain how this season can be any smaller than last.
I agree.
I don't. 100%. I mean, even us, we don't play it as much as we did last year, but the hype is still there. You know, we have friends that don't even play the game, but they're hyped for Overwatch League.
There's really nothing better than watching just like top tier Overwatch. I love watching it. It's insane.
Yep. So that starts next week. Again, let us know on Twitter @TheCenterRing. What are your predictions? Give us your top eight and your champion. I think that's the best way to do it. If you're going to tell us, give us who you think's going to win it all and your top eight. You can also let us know on Discord. You can get that up on our Twitter. I think there's a link there. And tcr.gg, our ugly website, will also have a link there. So let us know. We'd love to hear the conversation. But let's get into some e-news, shall we? We did an episode, 3 days ago? So not a whole lot happened. But it is rumored that Star Ladder is going to host the next CSGO major.
Oh, ripping a major, right?
Yeah. For now. Maybe there'll be three. But we'll see. And it's going to be in Berlin. Yeah. So it's the next major. It will be in Berlin, which is kind of cool. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It's kind of shocking that if this is official, that it's actually broke before the major. Normally, Valve keeps that pretty tight. But... that's really it. That's it for e-news. Not a whole lot have happened in 2 days. And, of course, that E-News is brought to you by Spaceman Company. Check them out on Twitter, at Spaceman Company. Their website, spacemanco.com. Good dudes. They are friends of the shows. They make T-shirts that are nice. We have our very own. They're comfy. So check them out. Give them a follow, if anything. Tell them TCR sent you. And then they'll give you blank stares, because that doesn't get you anything. But there are buds, so go check them out. Again, at Spaceman Company on Twitter. Well, that will just do it for this episode of The Center Ring. I thank everyone for listening. If you listen to the full episode, I thank you. They're super long because they're preview episodes, and every time we do a big preview, they're always super long. But there's a lot to get to. And we're not tied to a clock or anything, so let's take advantage of the long talks while we can. But that does it for episode 142 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed our full Overwatch League preview, part one, part two. Let us know. Do you enjoy these longer episodes when we go a full breakdown, or would you prefer keep it at 45 minutes to an hour and we just rapid fire teams, you know, like go quick? I ask this because I think in a week or so we're going to preview the upcoming CSGO major. So I'd like to know, do you like longer episodes when we break things down? Let us know at The Center Ring. That is our Twitter, our website, tcr.gg. Join our Discord, be a part of the conversation. We love it. We love our listeners, which Lex is one now, so what's up? But for Brett, for Tim, we'll see ya.